For a great Chicago show, we can tell you where to go. You should dial your radio to the Skinny and Hooley Show. It's the Skinny and Hooley Show.
Let's do, let's do, let's do, let's do, burn.
How's it going there, everybody from Cork, New York?
How's it going there, Hooley?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Hey, welcome once again to the Skinny and Hooley Show. I'm your old friend, Mike Houlihan. And with me, as always, my old buddy, my pal, my friend, Mr. James Skinny Sheehan. Skin, what do you see?
Hey, Hooley, great to be back here. Where is springtime?
Tell me about it. Hey, you're listening to Skinny and Hooley Show. We're brought to you by Flood Brothers Disposal. Our old pal, Bob Flood. We're coming at you out of Cicero, Illinois, WCEV. We're Chicago's ethnic voice, 1450 on your AM dial. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're streaming online at WCEV1450.com. If you ever missed a show, folks, you can always catch the podcast, usually up by Monday at SkinnyHooley.com.
A lot of people like that podcast, Hooley, because they can listen to the show whenever they want.
They do. And you know what? I just learned how to post the podcast myself. Scott taught me.
Did he?
Yeah. So hopefully it'll be up a lot faster now. I have nobody to blame now when it's not up right away. But yeah, nothing like that podcast.
No. Lots of people listen to it, Hooley.
You know what? Speaking of the podcast has been hit 56,000 times.
Really?
Yeah. That's on the site stats when I go in there. I went, holy cow. All over the world, you know.
That's
people
unbelievable.
People are tuning in and listening.
That's 56,000 every couple of weeks, right?
No. I think that's the whole 9 years. But so what? That's still a lot of people, you know. Yeah, especially if you're a sponsor and you want to reach 50,000, you know, influential Irish people.
Just give us some money and you'll...
This is the way to do it. You can absolutely
listen to your commercial for 9 years.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
hey,
guy.
There's some people who have been on here. Now, Flood Brothers have been on here the whole time. God bless
them. Yeah.
And look at what happened to their business in the last 9 years. They're booming. Booming.
Really,
you see their trucks everywhere.
I know. Yeah. They're doing better and better and better.
They'll all be out at the Sox opener, the Flood Brothers, tomorrow, I'm sure. Are you going?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'll be there. Yeah, it's great.
Too.
You know, baseball season has started.
I'm glad
you know,
it's going to be starting in the skybox.
And we had a great time, Hooley, with Loyola the last...
Oh, it was terrific.
Terrific.
Yeah.
They brought the whole city together. It was pretty cool.
You know
a bunch
what?
Of guys there were...
That was Saturday night, the game, right?
Yeah.
So Saturday night we had Irish movie star Barry Ward, who we did a couple of interviews with last week.
Right.
He was in town.
So you went to...
I went to see him. I picked him up at the Palmer House, and we walked over to the Gage... our good friend, Billy Lawless Jr., he was our host, and my son Patty went with us, and we just had a great time hanging out in the back booth. They put us in this little private booth in the back, and I got to tell you, I had a blast of a time.
It was in Annie Oakley, too, right?
It was Annie Oakley all the way. So thanks to Billy Lawless Jr., thanks to Barry Ward, and then I guess he had a great reception on Sunday afternoon for his film.
Good. Congratulations to Barry.
And, you know, that's a tough day to screen your film, Easter Sunday, but he still got like 75% of a full house. So Katie Grennan was there with her mom
really?
And dad. They went. I had to be home with the kids and the grandkids, but a lot of people went. You know, I guess Sally.
It was Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday. Kathy Daly was there, too.
Oh, okay. Was she?
Who else? I don't know, but... thanks to everybody who did go, because I'm sure you enjoyed it. It's a terrific film. And we hope to get Barry back here with a film, maybe for the...
Hooley Dooley.
The Irish-American movie, Hooley, yeah.
Yeah, there you
Hooley
go.
Hooley Dooley was the name of my bar in Rockaway Beach. My partner was Pete Dooley. Hooley Dooley, oh, that was an infamous joint.
How long did you have it?
2 years.
Was it too long?
Oh, man. It was brutal, I got to tell you. And it was my fantasy, you know. And then it was like, I'm working from 8 to 4 in the morning. You know, 8 in the morning to 4 in the morning. I don't think I like this anymore. I used to fantasize when it's snowing out and I'll be shoveling the walk in front of my pub. I was doing it. I went, this sucks. There's nobody in here. Bunch of drunks, you know, and they all want free drinks. And that was brutal. And then we sold it. We bought the bar. This is funny. We bought the bar for 14 grand. Oh, this was in 19.
This was not the building, too.
No, it was just the business. 14 grand in 1978. Me and my partner.
That was pretty lot of dough then.
And we sold it for 12 and took a note so that the guy could have take 2 years to pay us back. And 2 weeks after we sold it to the guy, one guy hit the other guy in the head with a hammer. Okay.
Good partnership.
He caught him taking the good luck money. Remember, you know, when somebody opens a bar and you give him a buck or 10 yeah. bucks and you write good luck. He caught his partner stealing
the good luck money.
Good luck money. He went in the back, called him in the back, and cracked him in the head with a ball peen hammer. And the cops came and the ambulance came. And I'm thinking, these are the guys we financed.
yeah. Needless to say, you didn't get the other $2,000 back, right?
Well, no, but we took the note. I came by Pete Dooley's bar every month and collected my end. Where's my money?
How much did you finance? $2,000?
We didn't finance it. We sold it for $12,000, and we said, we'll take a note. They might have got you, but you're going to be paying us for a couple of years. And they did.
Was for the whole $12,000?
Yeah. No, I think they put some money up front. I can't remember what it was.
That would be a dream.
It was a long time ago. A long time ago. Used to be the old thing. Hey, you never.
I bet you Mary was really disappointed when you got rid of the bar.
She was on a soap opera at the time, okay, or had just finished on the soap opera. And they made the mistake of bringing her down to the bar one night. And she was recognized by all these rummies. And they're like, it's Mary Ryan from Ryan's Hope. They almost attacked her. And she's like, get me out of here. I said, these are my
How
people.
How big was the place?
Oh, man.
Was it
smaller than your living room? Okay. It had 14 stools, I think, something like that.
$1,000 a stool.
Yeah, occasionally a guy would get drunk and throw a bottle through the window because he was mad because you kicked him out. We had a list called the Hooples List. Hooples for people who were no longer served. It got longer and longer and longer. Anyway, don't get me started. Oh, is Pete on the line? Oh. Okay.
That was like my brother John when he took over the Sheehan's pub. Oh, my God. And he, half the neighborhood was thrown out of the place.
Yeah, and everybody wants free drinks, and it's a tough business. There's no question about it.
It's like giving a party every night.
Yes. It's a good analogy. Yeah, and you're the host.
You're the host, and you got to.
And it's the same people every night if they show up. Yeah.
The regulars.
They're the worst, the regulars, yeah. A lot of cops who hung out there, and you couldn't throw them out, you know. Okay. All right, so I think Pete Nolan is joining us. You're very familiar with the old Pete Nolan.
He's got a new book out, I heard, Holy.
Oh, I got to tell you, Skinny, it's just a terrific book.
News Stories.
News Stories, a memoir by Peter Nolan. Pete, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There he is, folks. There he is, ladies and gentlemen.
The great Peter Nolan.
The great Peter Nolan. Long time WMAQ TV guy, and started in the business in Niagara Falls. Is that right, Pete? You started in Niagara Falls on the radio?
Yes, I did, at WHLD.
There
radio
you go.
In Niagara Falls. We were a 5,000-watt daytime station covering a good portion of Buffalo and into southern Ontario, including Toronto.
And then you worked in Youngstown, Ohio, right?
I did. And, you know, it's funny. I just realized today that today is the anniversary of Dr. King's assassination.
1968, yeah.
And that's 50 years ago, on April 1st, I arrived in Chicago.
Oh, wow. You got here just as that happened?
I went to work. He was shot in Memphis on a Thursday.
Wow.
I had come to work on Monday.
No kidding.
And I was a writer. I was a summer replacement writer. And I got in town with, I think I had four kids at the time.
Yeah.
And that's a little old Pontiac. And, went to work there. And the night before I went to work, Lyndon Johnson President Johnson announced he was not going to run for re-election.
Oh, sure. I remember that, yeah.
Then he had Dr. King, and so that's all.
And then the convention. That summer you had the Democratic convention.
Well, before that you had, I think it was in June, Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, he got shot.
Yeah, he got shot on June 6th.
Wow.
Well, it was like, you came here and it was like, welcome to the NFL, huh?
Wow, yeah.
It really was. And also, I remember welcome to you. We were all big union shop then. And I drove down to the studio to see if I could help out. And my boss said, no, you're off today. You know, if you come in today, it's, you know, time and a half or something. But, it was a different time. And, it's 50 years ago, half century.
Folks, you can, Pete's book is called News Stories, a Memoir. And Pete was always a newsman's newsman. And it starts in your first stuff in Niagara, but it takes you all the way up through the 60s, 70s, and 80s here in Chicago. What an incredible career you had.
You met a lot of interesting people,
oh,
Pete.
Oh, boy. And the great thing, it's stories. It's these little stories that are just gems, one after another. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I did. Well, I was a lucky guy. I had a, I was new to Chicago, and there was a lot of disturbances going on in Chicago.
Yeah.
There was rioting, so I settled out in the suburbs because I had little kids.
Yeah.
But I used to take the train in every day, get the papers, the Sun-Times and the Tribune, and walk over from the Northwestern Station to the Merchandise Mart.
Yeah.
And then they sent me out with in a car with three guys, a cameraman. We looked like cops. We were in these planes. And it was an adventure every day. You know, I got to know every neighborhood in the city and in many, all of the suburbs. And I even got to Springfield and to the downstate farms and stuff. I did a lot of stuff. I was very lucky.
So you did meet a lot of characters, though.
Well, you know some of these, Skinny. the guys that I have, one comes to mind, Andy McGann.
The great Andy McGann.
Great, yeah.
You know, I was reading that story today, Pete. Now, I was in the Southside Irish Parade this year. Bob Kellum Jr. was marching with me. I never knew his dad was the alderman of the 18th Ward. And he was talking. And you talked about the night he beat Andy McGann. That was a heck of a story.
It was, well, Skinny May, dare I ask Skinny who he was with in that campaign, but I won't. But he may remember, it was, both these guys were in the same parish. It was the 18th Ward.
Right.
Tommy Moore, St. Thomas Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you had families and neighbors against opposing each other. It was pretty rough. And Andy, when I went out there, when I first met him, the tears were streaming down his cheeks. He's a very emotional guy.
Sure.
Kellum was a nice guy, but he was, I think, endorsed by the mayor, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
And he outflanked, he had more troops on the ground.
Yeah, more precinct captains and stuff, yeah.
And then Andy came back into the fold after, and he was elected to the state house. He was a state rep, and I did mention that story.
Tell that story. That's a great story.
Well, the line I say, it pitted to these two guys, Bob Kellum and Andrew J. McGann, who was a popular funeral director.
Yeah.
And as soon as I wrote that, I had to add the line. That's what an oxymoron means.
No, we know a guy like that, Gino Cooney, very popular undertaker. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. But the great story, the other story you covered was when they called the White House.
That was another Andy McGann.
Yeah.
And quickly, he was They worked hard for Jack Kennedy, and Andy was a commissioner. He was on some board that Mayor Daley had put him on. I think the City College's board. And they'd meet every Saturday night in his basement of his bungalow, his buddies, and they had worked for Kennedy, and they'd be drinking and talking politics. And finally, some guy says, "Let's call the White House. Let's call Jack." And they got information, and they called. And of course, he said it was up to me. I was going to be the guy to initiate. And they got some operator at the White House, and he said, at the time, if you identified yourself as a public official,
sure,
transferred you to a special operator.
Commissioner Andy McGann calling. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a commissioner from the city. Well, they kept calling, and finally they got the notice lady. And she kept telling them, he's not available.
Meanwhile, they're drinking all night long, too.
They're drinking, and the guys are, we want Jack. And then finally, one night he's cleaning up, everybody left, and rapping the door, and there's a big Irish guy with the credentials. Department of the Treasury,
Secret Service.
Mr. McGann, you can't be bothering the president like this. You got to stop.
Oh, I'm sorry, fellas.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, that's a great one. But you know what's funny about that election with Kellum and McGann? Those guys, you know, they joined forces later, like you said, and they were buddies, but what happens is for years, the people that were on opposite sides, they still hate each other.
Probably, they'll never forget that, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that many times, you know. Yeah. On opposite sides of election, and you're out there helping some guy, and then the guy loses, and then
his pal are friends, right, and everybody else hates each other.
Yeah, and they hate you. You know, you have about half the people mad at you.
The beauty of the book is the stories are not too long, short little stories. And it's the beauty is the simplicity of it. I think I told you this before. They're just simple little stories, but told so well. No BS, no flowery language, nothing like that. A lot of laughs. You know where the punchlines are. Just great stuff.
Well, I was just going to say that I think I kind of kept it in tune with what I was taught in television, is to keep it brief.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't keep the stories. You weren't allowed to ramble on for 5 minutes with these stories. They were, and so in this case, they are a little longer than they would be on TV, but not much longer. And I had a lot of fun writing it, and I had wanted to do this for years. I kept a lot of my scripts.
Yeah.
And so I was able to, you know, retrieve them and look at some of these things.
Pete, in 1974, one of the stories you tell is called The Missing Woman. And it was when Rosemary Kennedy, who was mentally challenged or disadvantaged, and she was here in Chicago with her aunt. And they were at Old St. What?
She was with her sister.
Her sister. Okay.
Eunice Shriver.
There you go.
Who used to come, and she stayed with up somewhere around in southern Wisconsin with some nuns in a home.
Oh, the Cincinnati Dominicans, probably. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure who it was, but Eunice Shriver, who had lived in Chicago with Sarge Shriver.
Right.
I think he was on the school board.
Right, he's president of the school board, yeah.
And he also ran the merchandise market.
Right.
Much like the young Kennedy, Christopher, didn't he run the market?
Right, he did, yeah. Yes.
Anyway, so she would come and bring her down to Chicago Hotel, and they'd go to Mass. They'd probably, you know, go out to dinner, and she wandered away from the outside the Mass at St. Peter's. Eunice Shriver was talking to somebody, and all of a sudden she wandered off.
Yeah.
And they, for a while, it was kind of a charged atmosphere.
Well, the whole city was looking for her, yeah.
Yeah, well, Mayor Daley found out, and I told my crew, I said,
wait till Mayor Daley finds out who it is, and there were cops everywhere.
Yeah.
And then we somehow just by luck, we saw her. She was, and you remember years later, we found out from some friend of yours, Mike, I can't remember, the young lady who had worked in Orchestra Hall.
And oh, I think that was Mary Corrigan. She was an Andy Frayn usher there. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't know. But all of a sudden, she appeared right near Orchestra Hall.
Yeah.
We were there, and I approached her, and she couldn't really talk or communicate.
Right.
Yeah. And we called the police, or I had the cameraman get on the two-way, and they came and got her, and everything was okay. But, you know, for a while, they thought, oh, here's another Kennedy tragedy.
Yeah.
Wandered to the wrong place.
You saved the day. That was a big deal. There was a picture on the back of the book. Mayor Daley had you in front of the city council to thank you.
Yeah, I didn't do anything. They made a big deal out of it. Normally, but they did make. They had me at city council, and it was kind of embarrassing. But anyway,
that's a great story.
I'll take credit for it.
And the story is written in such a great style. You know, you're not out there bragging about anything.
I try not to because I still to this day. Now, I try not to put myself into it too much.
Yeah, she was staying at a place up in Wisconsin. Rosemary was. I read the book, Rosemary. Yes. It was really interesting.
Pete, one of the other great things about the book, and it's dealing with police officers murdered in a pub and just a lot of action, all kinds of stuff. And then family stories about you driving your kids to Florida and stuff. And if I have to come back there.
Well, that's I did include a part, a section when I was doing commentaries. And I have a few little tidbits from those. What interested me was when I went back and looked at them is nothing changes in 40 years.
Yeah.
We're still mad at the same things or laugh at the same things.
I noticed there's a lot of references in your stories, particularly when you were in Springfield, that you'd like to go up into the upper deck, the observatory, and maybe take a little snooze while the legislature was in session.
That's right. Yeah, it was kind of quiet up there. That was the back of this. They called that the Speaker's Gallery.
Yeah,
and nobody knew how to get up there. Few people would be up there, but the main galleries were on the side of the house and in the rear gallery. But I used to go up there and take a little nap. And I think the reporters today should do that.
Sure, they should.
Close your eyes a little bit.
they take that stuff a little too seriously.
They do.
It's like,
that was the beauty of your career. You were just kind of the guy on the next bar stool. It was terrific.
Hey, how is Cods doing?
Cods says, when I talked to her, she said she got to call you. She was going to California. She went on a spring break.
Folks, Cods is Pete's daughter, Kara.
Kara,
who was the St. Patrick's Day Parade Queen. And what year was that, Pete?
1990.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I remember she was, well, you know how good she was. She was just the best. And she worked, you know, we worked on the Taste with Mary Slowick, and it was a great time. We had a great time.
Yeah, she really loved working for the city of Chicago. And she did say she was going to call you back. She doesn't call me back most of the time, but eventually she shows up. But she told me that they were out for spring break in California, and she'll get back to you in another month or so.
Pete, when are you coming back to Chicago to, you know, pound the pavement for this book? Because I got to tell everybody, get this book.
Yes,
it's dynamite.
Well, I appreciate it.
You can get it on Amazon. Right?
I am on Amazon. I'm on all the places where they sell books.
Yeah.
Barnes & Noble and the e-books and all those places. I'll be back. I'm going to try to get on. make some appearances.
Well, you got to come on our show when you come back to town.
Yes, definitely.
The nice thing
yeah,
about
are you, are you still in Florida?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I'm still here, and I'll be here till about the 14th.
Well, you're not missing any. You're not missing anything here.
You're not missing a thing here.
It's cold.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
One of the great things about the book is it's a paperback, and I do a lot of my reading on the throne. You can hold it in one hand.
Well,
you can hold the book in one hand. You got some great.
And there's a story. Depending on how long you're going to be in there.
Yes, exactly.
Story
for
that,
every
time out.
Yes.
You can do two stories or you can do one.
Yeah. there's a great cast of Rogues Gallery characters in the back here. All these pictures of, like Fred Hubbard, Mayor Don Stevens from Rosemont, Andy McGann, Alderman Tom Keene. It says,
"Oh, those were the
Alderman
days.
Tom Keene's picture." It says underneath, "A model prisoner."
Yeah, I was there when he got out of prison, and and so that's one of the stories.
And then you got a picture of Jimmy Taylor. It says, "I was just bull jiving him."
Bull jive Taylor.
Who was he?
Alderman Keene was really a smart guy, though. Very smart guy.
Oh, he was. And I wanted to thank, I do thank Alderman Burke and his guy, Donald. They got me that picture. It's hard to get pictures nowadays.
Sure.
Especially for books and get permission. Many of those photos are out of the Illinois. Well, they're out of the Illinois State Blue Book. Dave Drucker, he's the Secretary of State, Jesse White. His guy, and he helped me out with that. And I have one other picture that I got late, and I'm going to put in later when I do some more corrections in the book. Is the House of Bertini on Wells Street.
Oh, sure.
John Rossi.
Yeah, I was reading his story. I had no idea that he was in World War II and all that stuff. And,
yeah. He's got a great story about a prisoner of war where his guy and his outfit, they captured a German pilot and one of the guys went to high school with the German pilot, and they're dancing around and then one of their officers said, "Why isn't that German in restraints?" And they said, "Oh, it's okay, sir. He's a buddy at Tully's."
They went to Hamtramck High School.
Now,
Skinny, you know this. I was fortunate enough to, Pete and I were partners in a lot of ventures, including his play,
the
51st Ward, and some great adventures as media consultants. And
there wasn't a lot of cash flow, though.
Hey, we had fun.
We had a lot of great ideas.
Oh, we had fun.
We had James Strong in the office.
Yes.
He was our office mate.
We used to go to Joanne. Pete's also quite the saloon singer.
Yeah, and voices. I got a lot of allergies down here. My voice is not what it used to be.
Well, you got to get back to Chicago and lube it up, pal.
I got to do my Jimmy Durante routine.
Yeah. So when you come back, you got to get back on our show.
What town are you in down there again?
I'm in Bradenton. I'm right on, actually, on the border of Sarasota, it's really nice area. I'm right on Sarasota Bay. And I stay at I just run a condo here, right on a great golf course, the IMG Academy Golf Course, which is quite a place. It has kids go to the school, and they're athletes, and they, the golfers, the tennis players from all over the world are here.
Well, I'm glad you're having fun. Get back here and
we're jealous.
Oh, look at he. The book is dedicated in the memory of Dan Houlihan and Dick Ciccone. That was nice.
That's very nice.
That's my brother,
yeah.
Danny. Pete, we got to run.
Yeah.
But you got to, when you get back to town, come on the show live. Everybody go out and get this book, News Stories, a memoir by Peter Nolan. It's just terrific. Terrific.
Are there any Jeremiah stories in there, Pete?
You know, he's a self-farmer. You know, he paid me to keep it out. No, I don't think I have him in there. Cause, you know, he never said a lot, Jeremiah.
Yeah. He plays it pretty close to the vest. Yeah.
A good source, but he never told you any. And he was always a very, very astute and quiet legislator.
Right. Well, listen, thanks
Pete,
a lot, Pete.
Thanks so much. Everybody get out and get this book.
Yeah.
You will love
Tell
it.
Tell Kotz to call me. Tell her I was talking to Mary Slowick yesterday. We had a great time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
We'll thanks, Pete.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye. The great Pete Nolan. We're going to take a little break on the Skinny and Hooley Show. I'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
Attention commercial business owners, industrial business owners, restaurateurs, apartment, condominium, and building maintenance managers. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service wants to earn your business. When was the last time you checked your garbage disposal rates? How about making a call or emailing for a free quote today at 773-626-5800 or online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. Flood Brothers is one of the last family-owned and operated solid waste recycling and yard waste firms serving metropolitan Chicagoland. Flood Brothers specializes in expert personalized service, extremely competitive pricing, and is backed by the Flood Brothers family name. Call Flood Brothers today. There's no charge other than a phone call to get a free quote. Call 773-626-5800 or go online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. When your name is on the trucks, you work harder to satisfy every customer. Call 773-626-5800. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service. Your garbage and recycling waste is their bread and butter.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClurg Court. We spend a lot of time there taping the Skinny and Hooley Show at Lizzie's almost every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 7 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salad, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river. Tell them you were sent by Skinny and Hooley. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
And we're back on the Skinny and Hooley Show. Got to get everybody.
What a great guy Pete Nolan is, isn't he?
Absolute best.
He's the best.
You know what he is?
He's always in a good, whenever you see him, he brings a smile to your face.
He's good company.
Yeah.
Very good company. He cracks me up, I can tell you that. And reading the book, I relive it because I had so many adventures with Pete. And God, he was funny.
You guys were making commercials and all kinds.
I got a story here. Three friends die in a car accident, and they go to an orientation session in heaven. They're all asked by St. Peter, when you're in a casket and friends and family are mourning you, what would you like to hear them say about you? The first guy says, I'd like to hear them say that I was a great doctor of my time and a great family man. The second guy says, I guess I would like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and school teacher, and I made a difference in children of tomorrow. And the last guy says, I would like to hear them say, look, he's moving. Okay. That's for Gino Cooney.
I thought you were going to say, he says, he still owes me money.
Yeah. You know, Skinny, whenever I'm walking up and down Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hearts or any of those great saloons and I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Holy, who died?"
Mary Therese O'Brien Healy passed away, Holy, at the age of 85. She was born in 1932 in Chicago. She survived by her daughter Bridget and a number of grandchildren. She remembers she was a devout Catholic and worked at Mercy Hospital as a volunteer for 15 years.
She Good for her.
Graduated from Loyola University, and she was a member of Teamsters Local 743. She's a great White Sox fan.
Big Bridgeport lady, right?
Yeah, a big Bridgeport thing. She's buried in Holy Sepulchre, and they had the Mass at St. Giles in Oak Park. So remember Mary Therese Healy. Great lady.
God rest her soul. Speaking of St. Giles, Skinny, I was out there today. Charlie Carey's mother, Patricia Carey Spellman, died.
God. I didn't know.
And they had the funeral at St. Giles. It's just terrific. Pat was the dear mother of Charlie and Jimmy.
Charlie's such a good guy.
He's the best. And, you know, any kind of an event like that with Charlie's family, there's always the cast of characters and the Duff brothers are there, and John Pesinani, and all these, you know, Frank Winters from the Packers is there. All these gigantic guys. Just a great group of people all there to, you know, wish Charlie well and condolences to his family and Pat's grandchildren, Charlie's sons, Matt, Jack, and Charlie. But an interesting story that Charlie did the eulogy for his mother. Now, that's hard enough to do.
Did he really?
Yeah. And he got up and he told the story. His mother was orphaned at the age of 5, okay? And she grew up in Brooklyn in New York. And she had told Charlie when she was 5 years old, her father died. And her aunt lived in Chicago, Cecilia Callahan. She was married to a doctor here in Chicago in Oak Park. And the aunt was there at the funeral and saw this little 5-year-old girl, Patty, and said, "I'm taking you home with me to Chicago."
Wow.
And the doctor did not know about this. He had no idea. And she walked in the door with this little girl and said, "We've adopted this little girl." And he just went over and hugged her. And for the rest of her life, you know, they were her parents. It's just a terrific story.
Wow.
So God rest her soul, Pat Carey Spellman, and all the Careys and the Spellmans and everybody else. Sorry I didn't get to go to
Charlie.
Sorry I didn't get to go to the...
Yeah.
They were all going to Tom's Steakhouse for a perfect martini afterwards because that's what Pat used to like. So God rest her lovely soul, Pat Carey.
Yeah.
She's in heaven for sure.
Say a prayer for her. Yeah. Hey, Huli, James Peaches, Rochford, 88.
Peaches. Yeah.
Born in Chicago, raised in County Mayo, Ireland. Beloved life mate of Joanne Walchick. And father of Sean Rochford. He was an old school player and coin legger and a former ballpark
old
vendor.
Old school pool player.
Pool player, I missed that.
And a coin legger. Remember legging coins?
Oh, God, I used to love it.
Yeah.
Pennies. Big White Sox fan.
Yeah.
And he was buried down in, Goglin Kaminsky Funeral Home, 5900 West Belmont. And the interment was private. So, James Peaches Rochford. What a great name. 88.
That is a great name. God rest his soul. Oh, Kenny Henry, kind of a Chicago character. Years ago, I did a movie here in Chicago with Ben Vereen and Greg Holloman, and it's called Tapioca. We needed a dog in the movie. Ben Vereen played this, like, crazy homeless guy who had a dog. The dog was kind of psychic, and we needed a dog. And Greg Holloman found us Kenny Henry and his dog Coral Reef, who we named Limbo. And the dog could do all kinds of stuff. And Kenny was a very eccentric guy. He was known throughout the city as the author of the popular book Canine City Survival. He had a beautiful angelic voice as a child. He was in the children's choir at Sinai Temple in Hyde Park and the lyric opera's Boris Godunov. Dog training and helping people with their dogs is his whole life. He is survived by his dog, Coral Reef III. What a character. God rest his soul, Kenny Henry. And that's for you, Greg Holloman. Also, Mary Catherine McNally. She was the wife of the late John McNally, a mother of 10 children.
Right.
Grandmother to 17 children. And she was very involved with the Gaelic Park Players out at Gaelic Park. She was a life member of the ATS Club. She acted, sang, directed, and costumed many productions. I'm sure she worked with Barney Farrelly.
Sure.
She performed on stage in the United States, Canada, and Ireland. She received awards for her acting through the Acting Irish International. She was an opera buff, linguist, Jeopardy devotee, and a crossword puzzle whiz. God rest her soul, Mary Kathleen McNally.
Yeah, Holy Marion Foley passed away, wife of the late Donald Foley, retired Chicago Fire Department, mother of Mary Kay Collins, and the late Donald Foley, grandmother of Christopher and Michael. She was buried from St. Stephen Deacon and Martyr Church in Tinley Park. And Huli, guess where she was waked at?
Sheehy,
where all the right people go.
Where all the right people go.
So Marianne Foley. So say a prayer for all those people that we mentioned, Huli. Yeah, a lot of good people, yeah.
All right, we can close up the crypt. And as we head into our next break, I want to tell you a little story of an old man goes to the doctor for his yearly physical, and his wife tags along with him. And yeah, doctor enters the examination room, and he tells the old man, "I need a urine sample, a stool sample, and a sperm sample." Oh, and the old man's kind of hard of hearing, and he looks at his wife and goes, "What? What did he say? What's he want?" And his wife yells back, "He needs your underwear." Thank you for that late rim shot. Okay, we're going to take a break on the Skinny and Uli Show. I'll be right back after these messages from our
friends.
That's
a true story, by the
sure,
way.
Sure, it was you.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you've got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 115 South LaSalle Street. IOS has an entire floor in this very prestigious building, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference rooms, day office usage, administrative support services, with customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com. That's integratedofficesuites.com. Or call them at 312-648-6200 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. Don't forget that number, 312-648-6200.
I'm Brendan O'Brien. Back in June of 1976, a guy opened a saloon on the south side called Riley's Daughter. That guy is my dad, Boz O'Brien. Millions of pints have been poured since then. Our family has quenched the thirst of the South Side for over 41 years. The storied history of Riley's Daughter is familiar to generations of friends who've told me their tales of nights they'll never forget at Riley's. Maybe they met their future wife or hubby at Riley's, Or maybe they were there for many of our White Sox, Bears, or Notre Dame trips. Or maybe their grandmother once bribed the judges in our Irish soda bread contest. We'll never tell. My family has been proud to be part of that over the years. One thing my dad has taught me is that you can't have too many friends. The legacy of Riley's daughter has been the people we've been lucky enough to meet who stop by and share their good times with us. Today we're back in the South Side, right where we started, at 4010 West 111th Street in Oak Lawn. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. We actually closed the deal on our return the day Yogi died. God rest his soul. 2 years later, we haven't missed a step. If Yogi were alive, we'd tell him. Pull up a stool at Riley's daughter and make yourself at home. If it's good booze and a friendly chat you're looking for, please stop by and say hello to my dad, Boz, my brother, Danny, or me, Brendan O'Brien. If you don't bring a story, we'll make sure you leave here with one. And if you mention the Skinny and Hooley Show, we'll make sure to put an extra ice cube in that drink of yours. Hope to see you back at Riley's daughter in Oak Lawn on 111th Street.
In a neatsy little town they call Belfast, apprentice the trade I was bound. Well, many hours of sweet happiness I spent in that neat little town. Well, a sad misfortune came over me. It caused me to stray from the land, far away from my friends and companions, betrayed by the black velvet band. Say her eyes is shining like diamonds, you thought she was queen of the land, and her hair hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. I took me a stroll on Broadway, not meaning to long for the stay. But who should I meet but this pretty fair maid, come tripping along the highway. She was both fair and handsome, her neck it was just like a swan, and her hair hung over her shoulder, with a black velvet band. Her eyes shine like diamonds, you thought she the queen of the land, and her hair hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. Well, I took me a stroll with this pretty fair maid, a gentleman passing us by. I knew she meant a doing of him by the look of her ravished black eye. Well, a gold watch she took from his pocket and placed it right into my hand. And the very first thing that I said was, bad luck to the black velvet band. Say her eyes shine like diamonds, where she was queen of the land, and her hair hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. Well, before the judge and the jury, next morning I had to appear. And a judge, he said to me, young man, your case it is proven quite clear. We'll give you 7 years' penitentiary to be spent far away from the land, far away from your friends and companions, betrayed by the black velvet band. Say her eyes shine like diamonds, you swear she was queen of the land, and her hair hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band.
The great Liam Durkin with Black Velvet Band.
Many times. That's a great song that he does.
He does a great job with it as well. He's a great guy. He's
a
great
singer.
You know,
Holy,
I just want to mention real quickly, we are so lucky to have people like the Flood Brothers, Tom Gorman,
yeah,
sponsors that have stuck with us through so
thick
much.
Thick and thin.
Thick and thin, Riley's daughter.
I'm the thick, you're the thin.
Yes, there you go. We heard from Riley's daughter, they're terrific. Johnny Wren here at Lizzie McNeil's Integrated Offices. And is there anyone I'm leaving out? Oh, we have an opening now that Smith Village is taking.
They'll
their
be back,
break.
But we do have an opening. That's right.
Yes, so.
Yeah. Hey,
you
Skinny.
Want business to grow. Get a hold of me or Holy.
What's the significance of that number up on the 347?
I have no idea.
Come on. Can't you read that from here?
I see it. It's on the Guinness sign, 347. What is that, Holy?
I think it's 347 days until St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, my gosh. You're right.
Is that all?
Is that all? Then we can do it again?
Oh, boy. You know what?
Speaking of St. Patrick's Day, what about October? Do we have anything going
October
on?
October 11th to the 18th is the Skinny and Hooli 2018 Skinny and Hooli trip to Ireland. But Skinny's not going. But that's okay. He needs to rest up. But we're going with
He'll Gino. He'll be there in spirit.
Yeah, we're going with Gino Cooney for the crack tour of Ireland. October 11th to the 18th, we got Emer Arkins, who is an all-Ireland fiddler, dancer, and singer. You should hear her.
You got her from Katie Grennan, right?
Yes. You should hear her lilting, Skinny. She's just delightful. You know,
yeah.
Just terrific. And of course, Gino's a riot anyway. He's always doing card tricks and magic and stuff. So we're going to Kinsale. We're going to Charlesfort. We're going to Cove, where the immigrant ships
left
from.
Yes, that's where my father left from.
Yeah. We're going to Dingle for two nights, which is just a terrific town. And Skinny, I know you got a lot of memories there with the cow.
Cows Dean Ballas.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night.
We're going to Kilkenny Castle, the Cliffs of Moher, Powers Court Garden. We're also going to Slane Castle.
I heard you're going to stay there for a night, Holy.
Well, no, we're staying near there.
Oh.
But Slane Irish Whiskey is the sponsor of the 4th Annual Irish American Movie Hooli. So we're going out there to say hello to them and drink some of their whiskey, which is just delightful stuff. So if you want, we got a big ad in the Irish American News this month. If you're interested, it has all the details and where to go for more details. So we'd love to have you join us.
Yeah, Cliff Carlson does a great job with that Irish American News.
He does when I'm in it.
Yes, that's what I mean.
He has a story in here about the Slane Irish whiskey thing, too.
Oh, does he? Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Also, I wanted to mention there's a nice story in here with Pat the alderman. What's his name? Pat Thompson. And his mother, Pat Morizzi, is that her name? You know, she's one of the dailies.
Yeah, that's Pat Thompson. That's the mother, too.
Patricia Martino.
Oh, Martino, yeah.
That's his mother. And then Kevin Conlon and then Johnny Daly and Junior and John Daly. They all got some award at the Irish Fellowship St. Patrick's Day dinner. There's Billy Lawless.
I was there for the Irish Fellowship dinner.
Were you?
Yeah, it was great.
I was out of gas at that point. I got to pace myself. That's the problem. I come out of that gate too fast.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
You're right. It's like, we better take another break. We're going to take our final break here on the Skinny and Hooli Show. And we'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home are third generation family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. Robert J. Sheehy & Son Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted, Chicago. At the time, this is one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of success is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. The name Sheehy on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family, and you know you never forget something like that. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Orico, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves in offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
And gotta love that McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
They've yeah, I want to thank McCann's. They're real good to us. And of course, yeah. Bob Sheehy, believe.
Yeah, RJS.
All the white,
where the all the right people go.
Yeah. Right.
I told my wife, that's where I'm going. Sheehy's. Remember that.
I go to a lot of wakes there, man. There's a lot of wakes
sure.
there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Especially on the south side.
Right,
he's got
right.
two. He's got 79th Street, and he's got the other one on 159th
and, you
Street.
You know, Bob was a tremendous football player at the University of Illinois.
And just a terrific guy. And
exactly. Great yeah. guy, and knows what he's doing. So,
you know, Skinny, when we first started this show, Bob Flood was the first one to get in, but Bob Sheehy was right after him and said, I'm in. I'm in on the show.
Yeah, he's terrific.
So he's been with us all this time. God bless him. Yeah. You know what? I got a funny story about Bob Sheehy. He did my brother Willie's funeral, right? And you know how you have a conference with the Undertaker beforehand? You pick out the casket, all that stuff, and you plan it. And so me and my brother Danny are sitting there in a little conference room with Bob Sheehy, and we're talking about, you know, okay, what do we do then? We don't need the best casket, but we don't need the cheapest, you know. Want to give him a good send-off, blah, blah, blah. We also, he arranged for us to have his wake at Don Ellen's because it was right across the street from Ken's, so that I could run back and forth on Western Avenue and have a few...
Always planning ahead. Yeah.
But it didn't. That wasn't a problem because we can work that out. We'll do the funeral, but we'll work an arrangement out with Don Ellen and have the wake there. Terrific.
Unbelievable.
So we're getting almost finished, and I had, you know, Willie and I were real tight at the end, and I was driving around when he was sick and everything. So I turned to Bob Sheehy, and I said, I want you to do me a favor. And I had $88, which I had found at Willie's apartment or whatever, and I said, I want you to put this in his pocket when he's in the... in the casket. And Bob looks at me and goes, what? I said, yeah, just put that $88 in there. And Danny goes, for what? I said, just some walking around money, you know. You know. And Bob Sheehy goes, absolutely. You know. Danny gave me a look like, what are you, goofy? But I'm glad I did that. You never know. You never know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Skinny, one more joke.
Well, you know what, Julio? I want to tell you something.
Oh,
we got a Special Olympics little commercial here.
Okay, lay it on me.
On May 2nd, the Chicago Cubs, Tom Ricketts is going to...
He was at the funeral today.
Was he really?
Yeah. There's some connection with Charlie. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, he's going to come down and to Maggiano's.
Yeah.
And do a breakfast for Special Olympics. We're doing it with the City Club of Chicago.
Is he bringing some of the Cubs?
You never can tell.
Yeah.
But he's going to fill everybody in on the Cubs. If anybody wants to go, you can go to sochicago.org, contact Skinny or me, and it's $200. But
did you just say contact Skinny or me?
Skinny or Hooli. Skinny or Hooli. Skinny
okay.
or me.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought they might think it was you, but... But anyways.
What is it? May what?
May 2nd.
May 2nd at Maggiano's. It's in a it's a morning thing. It's a breakfast
right,
thing.
It's a breakfast. Oh, that's 7:30.
Yeah.
You'll be out of there by 9 o'clock.
And it's time for us to go. We will see you later. Bye.
The Skinny and Hooley Show is recorded in front of a live audience.